Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning. Let's see who was here last week. Same passage of scripture that we had last week. No, I'm just kidding. 1 Corinthians 15. I didn't even remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. I said the gospel was the good news. You can put that in the margin of your Bible right here. The gospel is good news. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died. I preached on that last week. For our sins according to the scripture, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again today that you've allowed us another week, another day to come in here and just worship you and praise your name. Lord, I thank you right now that the Holy Spirit is moving. Lord, that we'll open our hearts to receive your word, that you might enlighten us to what you would have us to hear. For each one of us come this morning, and we all have different needs in our lives. So, Lord, we just ask you that you speak to us according to your will, to the point of need in our life. And, God, that we'll make the decisions that you allow us to make. For it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Last week I preached that Christ died for our sins. When I was a young lad, I wondered about the Friday before Easter. They call it Good Friday. And what would be good about someone dying? Well, it is good. It is the good news to know that Jesus Christ came, that he came, and like we said last week, that he died, he was buried. And the good news, he rose again, and we celebrate this resurrection day. We celebrate the death of Christ and his glorious resurrection on this beautiful Easter because he paid the penalty for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Verse 4 said, he was buried. Well, that is, again, good news that Christ died and he was buried. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary. There had to be a price to pay since we are sinners. Blood had to be shed. Our blood is not good enough. The blood of animals was not good enough. It had to be that perfect sacrifice. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if we would put our faith, our trust in him, give him our lives, that his precious blood is the payment for our sin. He was buried. But you know, the Bible, if it just stopped right there, it would not be good news, would it? Because just being killed or dying on a cross and buried is not enough. The good news was that he rose again. You see, the good news about the resurrection of our Lord is he rose again. Our leader is not dead. Mao Zedong, I went to China a few years ago to visit, and we got there, and we went out in Tiananmen Square, and there is his big old grave. It's a big house. And it goes down. They have him in a estate there. They raised it up in the day, and thousands upon thousands of people walk by and look at him and pray to him, and they think that that's their God because he said he was that way. But I got news for you. He is dead. He is dead. He couldn't overcome death. But praise God, our Lord and Savior overcame death. Jesus is not dead, he's alive. And he's sitting up on the throne by his Father, and we sing praises to him. Oh, what it'll be that day when we die. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and we're with the Lord, and we sing in all his glory, and we're praising him for all eternity. These three words, he rose again, is music to our ears. Folks, believe me, if you believe and you give your heart to God and you know that he has raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. Now, folks, that's the good news of the gospel. That is the music to our ears. That is our hope in Christ Jesus, and our hope is a sure hope. Oh, and it's a wonderful experience that lies ahead for each and every believer and put their faith in Jesus Christ. When someone close to us dies, and what Brother Perry said this morning, I didn't want to get in on that because we were taking up a lot of time anyhow. But you know, when someone close to us dies, we wonder sometimes. I did. I wondered, why, Lord? Why? And it was just like God spoke to me and says, why not? Your brother is with the Lord now. His fight is over. He's finished his course. Henceforth, laid up for him is the glory of heaven. And I said, oh, Lord, come quickly. And I look forward to that day that God calls me home. And once again, I'm there in the presence of God forever and ever. You see, there's something very personal about the good news of Jesus Christ rising again. Jesus said he will rise again on the third day. Now, I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe that he lived a perfect life. I believe that he died on the cross of Calvary. I believe he was buried. I believe he rose again. And that rising again was a vindication to his word, what he said he would do. He has done. And as you read the glorious gospels of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see that Christ said some very stunning things about his life. He said he would forgive people of their sin. So I know that because he died and rose again, my sins are forgiven because I've trusted him as my Lord and Savior. And this morning, as you come here and you have sin in your life, he will forgive you. He said he would forgive you. No matter what you've done, you're not too bad or too good for God to save your soul. He said he has always existed. I know he was with the Father. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus Christ was there in the beginning. He said he was. He said he would come back. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again. I believe that with all my heart that he's coming back. But the most astonishing thing that he said, that he would die. He would die on the cross. And he said, on the third day, I'll raise from the dead. Now, he said, you take this temple and destroy it. And in 3 days, he said, I will build it back. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 nights and 3 days, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up and be in the earth 3 days and rise again. Now, either that was true or he was a liar. I believe it is true. The Word of God says it's true. His whole Word, this Word of God, is true. I believe it with all my heart. Man, he has proved everything in the Bible. Now, Christ predicted that he would be crucified on the cross. He predicted that 3 days he would rise. He predicted he would come back. He did. And you and I are here today celebrating his resurrection. The fact that we believe that Jesus Christ kept his promise. And the Bible says one day he's coming again. And I believe that with all my heart. And I believe it could be just now, or it could be today, or it could be tomorrow. But I know one thing. Jesus said he's coming back. That's a personal thing of good news. The reason it's so important to us today, that if Jesus could keep his word about something like dying on a cross and coming back on the third day, he can do anything that he says he can do. Our God is an all-powerful God. Our God is an all-knowing God. Our God is creator God. Man, I look around at the world. I look at how he created this place. And let me tell you something. If you look at this place with an open mind, you've got to know that there is a creator. And he's not just something out there. His name is Jesus. And he loves you with all his heart. He went to an old rugged cross. He died for you that you might have life. And if you will simply give your life this morning to Christ, he will forgive your sins and give you eternal life. He will put joy in your heart. Let me tell you something. Everything in life is not happy. But I guarantee you, with the Lord, he will see you through it. And he will turn those bad things into good things. I didn't know how in the world someone like my brother or my father or my uncle or my brother-in-law, how all of those could die and it would be good. But I know that God has a plan and he's working that plan out in our lives. And I believe with all my heart that one day he's coming back for me. Somebody here needs their sins forgiven today. Jesus Christ will forgive you of your sins. Somebody here needs the guilt of sin removed from their life. Jesus Christ is the one who will move that sin out of your life and forgive you. He said in the Word of God, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And he can say that because he rose again. The resurrection vindicates the word of Jesus Christ. You see, he died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again. And someone must say, preacher, do you think that Jesus paid on the cross with his blood? Was that sufficient for all our sins? Let me tell you something. It will do the job. It'll do the job. You see, the Bible says he went and died, he was buried, and for 3 days he was in that ground. And the verdict is out. All the angels in heaven examine the price that Jesus Christ paid for our sins. All the Old Testament saints who have died examine and proclaim that Jesus Christ was adequate. And the Heavenly Father, who said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He looked and he examined the cross. He examined the blood of his dear Son. And he said, it is sufficient. He rose again and overcame. Oh, on that morning, Easter morning, I can see those disciples. They're scared. They're hiding out. These women come running to the tomb. There's an earthquake. Oh, the shaking of the ground. You know what? That stone was rolled away. And the resurrection was the Father's amen to the death on the cross. To the sons, it is finished. God said, it is over. And he rose again. And he's seated by the right hand of God. You see, there's something very personal about the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then there's something very powerful about those words, he rose again. Jesus says something in Revelation 1:18 to John. He says this, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Jesus says he died and was buried and he's living again. And something very interesting, he says, I've got the keys to hell and death. You know what that means? That means that the old Satan has lost the keys. This old earth was under his control. He had the keys, but the battle was raging. Christ came, and oh, let me tell you something. When he did, he invaded the devil's territory, and he took the devil on. You know, the Bible says that Jesus raised people from the dead. Lazarus, he said, come forth, and old Lazarus came forth. Oh, the devil didn't like that. Jesus came to the demonic man, and he cast out the demons out of that demonic man, and the devil didn't like that. And then he broke the grip of the devil that he had on the lives of people's souls, and the devil didn't like that. Did you know that the devil doesn't like you this morning? He's not your friend. You may be on his team right now because you're lost without Christ, but he wants to hurt you. He wants to drag you down to the pits of hell. He wants to ruin you for all eternity. He's not your friend. The Bible says he came to steal and to kill and to destroy. God is your friend. The devil's not your friend. That day on the cross, they nailed him there. It turned dark. The old devil was smiling. He finally said, well, I've got him now. His own nailed him to the cross, and he's dead. I won't have to fool with him no more. I've got the keys to the earth. But let me tell you, they took him down and they buried him. Oh, and that earthquake came. That stone rolled away. That Roman seal was broken. And those soldiers fell, the Bible says, as dead men. And the Lord rose from the dead that day. And he took the keys from the devil and said, you're no longer under control of death. I've won the victory over it. And now our Lord and Savior holds the keys. And he says, whatsoever is bound in heaven is bound upon the earth. Whatsoever is loose in heaven is loose upon the earth. Folks, God has the power. There's something about that name. The devil thought he'd won, but the Lord said, no, devil, I've won. The Easter Sunday morning is he rose again. And when he came out of that grave, he said, Satan, you give me those keys. And he is the keeper of the keys now, not the devil. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is the victory? Jesus Christ won the victory. Death reaches out into our house. Death reaches out to our families. Death snatches away those most precious to us. Death walks the corridors of the hospital and takes our loved ones. Our families cry. Oh, in the face of death, we do everything in our power to live. We job. Some of us do. I quit that a long time ago. My son is works up there at the cardiac rehab, and he said, you know, your heart just got so many beats, and I don't want to rush mine. I'm saving them up. Man, matter of fact, they tell me that Bluebell helps you out. I love life. But you know what? If God comes back for me today, I'm ready. I am ready. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? You know, we must face death. It's coming. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So, you know, I'm aware of that. But listen to the victory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He rose again. Something very personal about those words. Something very powerful about those words. And there's something very practical about those words. He rose again. It simply means that we can have Jesus Christ into our heart this morning. I never will forget when I was 20-something years old, I came down in Eastside Baptist Church there in Rusk, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Oh, I'd gone to church all my life, but I'd never had received Christ as my Lord and Savior. I knew about Him. I knew all about Him. I could tell you the stories in the Bible. I'd heard them since I was just a little boy. You see, I was one of these that went to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and those nights in between if we had prayer meetings. But let me tell you, going to church does not make you a Christian no more than going into a garage makes you a mechanic. You see, you've got to have a personal relationship with God. And oh, when I was about 21, I realized that. I had never had that personal relationship. And the Lord began to speak to my heart and say, Booney, you need to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never had that personal relationship. And I thought to myself, well, I've been baptized. And the Lord said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a personal relationship with me. There's something very personal about God in our life. He died for me. Oh, let me tell you something. The Bible says if you confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That day I said, Lord, okay, I want to be saved. And I'm going down. And I went down, and right there in front of that church, I said, listen, people, I've gone to church all my life, but I've never really had a personal relationship with God. Today, that changes. Because I've asked Christ to come in my heart, and I believe with all my heart He has. And you know what? He took that load of guilt away from me, and He gave me a joy in my life. You see, salvation is not something you believe in your head. It's something that you believe in your heart. It's a heart matter. And you've got to get it from here to be saved. You see, Nicodemus knew all about religion, but he didn't know Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he says, how do I do that? And Jesus told him, oh, look to me, and thou shalt be saved. You know, Jesus is the only one that can forgive sins. He's the only one that can come into your life and change your life. Let me ask you this morning, have you received Him into your life? Is it something personal to you? It's something personal, isn't it? If you've never received Christ into your life, it doesn't matter if you're a member of this church or a member of the Methodist Church or the Pentecostal Church or the Presbyterian Church. Let me tell you, church membership does not save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. If I told you, well, if you come to put your name on a Baptist church roll, you'll be saved, I would be lying to you. If I told you all you have to do is come down and be baptized, I'd be lying to you. The Bible says you must repent. That means you must believe in your heart that you are sinful and you're willing in your heart to turn around your life and start towards Christ and live for Christ. And then I believe you'll want to be baptized because it shows that you're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, rising up out of that water to walk anew with Christ. You know what? Man, every day you have to walk in life. I just ask God to guard my steps. Let me step towards you every day. Dear Lord, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to fall short in my life. I know I'm saved. Nothing can take that away from me. But I want to finish well. I want to finish well. A guy asked me the other day, he said, when are you going to retire? And I said, when Jesus Christ calls me home, when he calls me home, you never quit preaching the gospel. You never quit teaching the gospel. He said, I want you to tell people before it's too late. And folks, this morning, it's simple as a little child can understand it. You must come to Christ, realizing that he died for you, that he was buried for you, and that he overcame and rose again, and he's coming back for you. I believe that with all my heart. And if you're lost, he's the only one that can forgive you of your sin. He paid the price. Have you given your life to him this morning? If not, I'm going to give a verse or two of invitation. It just goes like this. They're going to sing, and all you have to do is say, listen, I want Christ to come into my heart. With all my heart, I want him to come into my life. And step out by faith and come down and just say, preacher, today I'm accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today I'm changing the direction because Christ died for me and rose again. Oh, listen, folks, you'll have something to shout about. You'll have something to have joy about. You'll have a peace that passes all understanding. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's not easy to live the Christian life. Matter of fact, you can't live it, but God, through you, will help you live it. I fall so short. I just thank God for the grace that is sufficient. Would you come this morning? Some of you here are already saved, but you're not living for the Lord like you should. You may have your shame on church roll. That doesn't save you. You realize that, you need to come get saved. Well, whatever decision you make, you need to make that before it's too late. When you walk out of here this morning, you want to be completely right with God. Did you hear that? Completely right with God. Some of you here this morning and you're looking for a church home, well, praise God, this is a great church. Great group of people. They'll stick with you. They'll pray for you. They'll love you. They'll even tell you how to get to Christ and show you the way and how you're supposed to live. If that's your decision, would you make it today? Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you died for us. You paid the price on Calvary. And Lord, you rose again. And Lord, because you rose again, because you live, we too can have life. Lord, if there's someone here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, may they come. Someone here needs to make a decision. Lord, let them make that decision today. For it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Would you stand?